Do we have all the materials here? If not, I'll again call the meeting of Finance Administration Committee to order. This special meeting, which we talked about 2 weeks ago and said we needed to have before going to the board with decisions on our docket, will continue our discussions and our deliberations on the 2016 budget. Yeah. Do what I can here. I don't know what the... I'm on. Yeah. I have also been talking to staff about some improvements to this room and to the sound systems. I think we're a little archaic in a lot of it, but it will take time to get them in. So we'll be continuing our discussions of the 2016 budget, which we must ultimately adopt, currently scheduled to be done in May. We all know and we've heard this is a challenging budget year for Metro, as well as for the jurisdictions. It's particularly challenging for us in terms of the operating budget. We, as you all know, we've talked about it, there are options being considered that we can put in place to achieve the balanced budget that we must adopt. We have considered reductions in service. We've considered the possibility of an across-the-board fare increase. We've considered other options. We've had several very productive meetings leading up to today. Today, in order to keep the budget adoption process moving forward, the committee must make a decision on the options we wish to give to the board to go forward and receive public feedback on the things that are needed to adopt a balanced budget. As a reminder of that process, any time the board is to consider changes in fares or service levels, we have to begin a conversation with our stakeholders. We began that even last 2 weeks ago at the Finance Committee when several members of the public were invited to come in and share their thoughts and their concerns. Some very powerful statements. To continue the conversation, this time in a more formal way, we must lay out all of the options that will be put forth for consideration. As such, the docket that we would recommend being adopted today would be the outer limit of any changes that the board could consider. We can always, and I think we should consider that, advertise less in a way of options. Even after advertising, we could always consider or adopt less, but this would be kind of the high water mark of what we feel would be necessary. The committee's task today is to decide what we recommend to the board to be used to present to the public. It may be what's in your materials this morning, or I'm hopeful that it can be less than what was in your materials this morning. I'd like to turn the floor over to our Chief Financial Officer, Dennis Anasicki, to walk us through the proposals, and then procedurally, we tabled the motion 2 weeks ago. At the end of that presentation, I would ask to a motion to remove that from the table, put it before us, and then consider it for discussion and for amendments, and ultimately for adoption by the committee as a recommendation for this afternoon's board meeting. Any questions about procedure? No questions about procedure. Let me turn it over to Dennis.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman Downey, members of the committee. As indicated by the chairman, this special committee meeting continues to dialogue on the FY16 proposed budget. The goal today, as you heard a few seconds ago, is to get a committee decision on a docket, especially in light of the alternatives for balancing the budget without involving service reductions or fare adjustments. So today's decision will help to establish the level of jurisdictional support for Metro in FY16, and more importantly, keep the process on track for budget adoption in May. As a reminder, the regional docket continues to reflect potential fare and service adjustments totaling $46 million in subsidy reduction in FY16. Specific docket elements include a 10-cent increase on bus and rail, headway increases on rail, the elimination of late-night weekend service and reduction of low productivity routes on bus. As previously noted, the draft docket also includes information on Metro's proposed FY16 capital program, as well as adjustments to parking facility rates and times, the elimination of the transit link card, and changes to Metro's early open and late closed rail service pricing structure. The capital program, as was discussed last time, requires a public hearing prior to adoption. However, the remaining items that I just mentioned are driven by factors other than their financial impact to the budget. As directed by the committee, staff has also prepared an alternative docket that modifies the list of proposed bus route changes, including the elimination of some proposed routes in Virginia and Maryland. This alternative docket, which has already been posted on Metro's website, reduces the value of the original docket by about $3 million. In addition, the docket also clarifies the docket has also been clarified with respect to parking as well as surcharge language that the committee discussed last time. And should the docket be approved, the outreach and public participation process will present the docket items through print, surveys, and in-person forums in ways that emphasize, as this committee directed, the option of menus and solicit feedback on ideas for bridging the funding gap. Two other questions regarding advertising and fare evasion that this committee raised last time are being investigated by staff and will be reported back to the committee prior to budget adoption. So, should the full docket be rejected in favor of balancing the budget with further administrative expense reductions and reductions to the FY16 capital program, the draft docket will be revised in that case to reflect only those items that will still require public discussion and consideration prior to adoption in May. Finally, Mr. Chairman, if a docket is approved today, staff will undertake a region-wide public outreach as prescribed in Metro's public participation plan. That outreach and participation efforts will begin in March and run through early April, as was presented to the committee a few months ago, culminating in this particular case in one or more public hearings. The scale of the outreach, however, will depend on the composition of the docket itself. A reduced docket containing only the CIP and the smaller items that I described will involve one or more hearings, but will be limited and targeted to those customers and locations that will be most impacted. So as a point of illustration, with respect to the Minnesota Avenue, we can have public participation there with respect to the proposed changes regarding park and ride at that particular location. Mr. Chairman, I will stop at this point, unless there are questions, turn it back to you and the committee.
I think procedurally, I would entertain a motion to put the full docket before the committee so that it can be dealt with. Moved and seconded. So we now have the full docket before us. We also have other options that we could consider through amendment of that, and I would turn it back to Dennis to talk about what those options are and what we've been doing to try to make those a reality.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you recall, in December when the budget was presented to this committee, the response at that time was that there should be changes, and staff went back and came back to this committee with a series of changes that reduced in net times $5.5 million. Since then, in light of conversations with some of the committee members, there is now another proposal which reflects a total reduction to the budget of $30 million. That includes $5 million of additional administrative expenses, which, as we noted, will have some operational impact, but will not impact safety and will not impact reductions in service or safety-sensitive positions. There's an additional $5 million coming from the TIF fund to help reduce the budget. That makes it 10. And based on a reassessment of the capital program, an additional reduction of about $20 million, which will also reduce the overall ask of the jurisdictions for a total of this particular round of $30 million. With that, we've also had conversations with some of the jurisdictional partners to get a better sense of their reaction to that, and at this point have not received any significant opposition to those proposals.
And if I could just clarify on the capital items, this is not cutting the capital budget. It's realistically looking at the cash flow that will be coming forward in the next year. If that cash flow is not going to be as much as originally expected, that opens up some room within the jurisdictional budgets to balance out what's provided for operating, what's provided for capital.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Questions for Dennis? Yeah, Mr. Goldman.
Let me make a statement. There may be a question for Mr. Dennis. I want to just state the position of myself and position for the state of Maryland is at this point we don't think there's any need to go to public document on substantial fare increases or substantial cuts in service. I want to congratulate the chair and you, Dennis, for what you've been able to accommodate and accomplish in the last couple months in bringing forward inventive and creative ideas to close the $30 million gap that Maryland saw between what it could afford and what was being proposed back in December. So, as it stands, there are some items that we think should go to a docket, but the need for a fare increase or the need for substantial service reductions are not things that we believe need to be out there right now. I guess I should say that from Maryland's perspective, the reason we got into this fix is because the state had budgeted about a 12% increase in WMATA's operating budget from FY15 and FY16, which we thought was a very substantial increase. So that money was there. But as you know, the staff's proposal was for a 16% increase. And the difference between that 16 and the bring it down to the 12 is the $30 million on a regional basis that we've been talking about. So we would be in favor of a much truncated public docket and one that does not include any fare increase or any substantial service reductions at this time.
Other comments? Yes.
Yes, I support what Mike's saying over there. So how does this work? Do I make a motion to remove from the docket?
When we're ready, someone should offer
a
substitute that incorporates the approach that's now being proposed.
Okay, so we remove all fare increases and all service reductions.
I'll recognize you at that point.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Hines.
Mr. Downey, I just have a procedural question. So as I understand the proposal, all of the changes associated with bus routes are now gone? We would do zero?
Down to a very small number. Okay. I'm not sure. There may be a couple that are still there. But
okay.
But Maryland does have a couple.
Right, But I think most of our look at bus routes and bus services and perhaps rail services would come up in mid-year when we talk about service enhancements and service trade-offs. So we'll have another round at that point.
So when,
but as we've had in other years, not a round that's aimed at budget savings,
aimed at
service improvement.
I'm just trying to understand the timing of that.
Right.
We do have something that we had hoped would be considered now because it actually impacts our operating budget as well.
Yeah.
It's a positive change in terms of service, but as also a positive change in terms of costs for Arlington. So I just want to make sure that I understand that, so I don't mislead folks.
Don't go back
home
and say you didn't get the
exactly
bacon, right?
Yeah. And I think that.
Right. Other comments, questions?
I think that is the case in some of those that are in the other side of Virginia on Fairfax side, but I think there is an opportunity different from this motion, for the public to realize that there may be other opportunities that they would like to speak to. And that is one opportunity for us to really think about how not only we reduce the budget, but we actually refine the service at a time that we're making this larger decision about our budget.
So you're comfortable with doing that in the June process as opposed to or other things that need to be considered now?
Let me check, Mr. Downey.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
At what point do we need to be explicit about the bus changes that would be included in the docket?
Now, if they are to be included.
Yeah, but, no, but I just...
The proposal is not to include any substantial
Right. I understand that, but I'm. Right. If we're going to put forward a docket, my understanding is that docket needs to include everything we would propose. So whatever bus changes we are contemplating need to be on the table now.
We'll have that as a document shortly, certainly before the board adoption this afternoon, and we could, if there are any issues, we will have the board meeting to
So the vote here would be on the substantial items on the docket,
yes.
And that the what the board would consider at a later point would also include the minor bus service changes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not on this docket today.
So I understand that. The question is whether it's before the committee right now or whether it will be before the board but not the committee.
Okay.
As I understand it,
they can add a motion.
There will be a motion to delete all of the proposed service reductions and their increases, and that each jurisdiction then would be responsible if there are minor modifications to that, to make a motion to amend that motion so that Maryland, Virginia, and the district would have an opportunity to declare if there were issues that needed to be specifically addressed in this discussion to modify that resolution.
Okay, so we'll first scrub it and then put anything back in as a recommendation to the board. Okay.
I just want to clarify the reason of that, because so that the public gets an understanding. We know that we have the bus adjustment piece that comes later in the year, and that's a refinement of services within the budget. And here we're saying, okay, if we've looked efficiently at our service and we are saying to the public we can make certain types of adjustment and do two things. One, hopefully not be too impactful on their service, but also to be as efficient as possible in terms of the budget that we will have before us. And so that's the part that I think we want the opportunity.
Mr. Chair, could I ask the board members to not have side comments while we're having the discussion? I can't hear Ms. Hudgens very clearly, so please, all the other board members, please keep quiet.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, so before we get up from this table, we will then ask for any things that the jurisdictions believe absolutely need to be in this docket at this time, keeping the thought later in the year we'll have a service enhancement docket. Other comments, other questions? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
I guess I had one more, which does lead to a question for Mr. Anasaki.
Yes.
One of the issues I had raised in the last meeting was the passenger and revenue forecast for FY16. And obviously, to the extent that that forecast is reduced in terms of dollars, there would need to be some need for some compensating cuts in expenses. And Mr. Anasaki and you and I have had some conversations with that. And I understand that Mr. Anasaki is both reviewing that forecast and will come back before we have to vote on an FY16 operating budget with a revised and what we believe in Maryland is a more realistic forecast, and he has some ideas for how we can close the gap at that point. So that is the reason why I don't think we have to go with fare increases or substantial service cuts as part of the docket this time. This is something
certainly if we go without the service cuts and the fare increases, our ridership numbers will look better.
We hope.
But I talked with the CFO about some other options that we can hold in reserve should they be necessary.
Right.
In order to adopt the budget.
And we're good with those.
Okay.
Thanks.
To let us go forward today without a docket that includes a fare increase.
Mr. Bolger.
So we're going to leave in the 5A, which is LaFont to Dulles for the time being,
you have to make that as a motion.
Okay.
Is.
No, that was not. That was one of the minor items in the way the docket was constructed.
Second.
If you want to do that, the process would be.
Right.
Jack makes a motion about the elimination of various changes and their adjustments. If a jurisdiction wants to add back in.
It's in. It's already. It's still in the docket.
It's going to come out when I make my motion.
All right.
I'm going to take it when he makes his motion and if you want to put back in that.
The paper copy of the docket.
And the parking issue stays in as we have discussed it.
Okay.
If you make the motion.
Got it. Okay. 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 Yeah, okay. Okay.
We're taking, so we're talking about taking everything out and then adding back in.
Everything except Minnesota Avenue parking, hours of collecting parking fees, elimination of the transit link card pass, and changes to pricing for open and late service. Those would remain in the restricted docket, but if there are other things that need to come back into it, we need that. We need those as amendments. Can I have a motion to, that's the late night service.
How much it costs?
How much it would cost to sponsors.
I'm going to move to take that out, too.
I'm going to move to take that out. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. I don't know who came up with that idea.
All right, let's proceed as follows. Could I have a motion to strip the fare increase and the major service changes?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. So we now have a clean docket with only four items in it, which we either have to subtract from those four or add other things back in.
I was also moved to delete the late night service change.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Moved and seconded.
I did read the report on that, and it indicated the last time we set that price was many years ago, and that certainly its value is much higher now than it was then. Also, there was the way it was credited, it would credit it back if it wasn't used. So I'm not sure I would agree with taking that off the docket.
Other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I actually have a question for staff on this, which is how frequently have we been in a situation where the service that was provided actually we were eating some of the cost because the deposit that was given was insufficient to cover what was needed to pay for the service.
Yeah. Let me try to answer that in a little bit of a different way. We set that price approximately 5 years ago, and that was intended to cover the incremental cost of providing an hour of service. We haven't updated that price since then. We have updated, however, the average when we credit the sponsors back for the ridership that happens during the extra service. We have kept that calculation and increased the average fare that we use in that part of the calculation. By not updating the price over the last 5 years, it does not reflect the increases in the unit costs of providing the service and then also the fact that the system is larger than it was 5 years ago.
I know, but I guess what I'm focused on, and I would say this because of the number of events that we have, and I know this is true for D.C. too. So people put down right now, they have to give us a check for $25,000, right? And then we look at the users, and we figure out how much additional costs we had.
We
look at how much the people paid.
Yes, we look at how much additional ridership was generated during the extra period of service.
And then from that $25,000, we take the balance of the cost of providing the service. Is that correct?
Not exactly. So if for a large event, for example, like the Marine Corps Marathon, they have sufficient added ridership during that period that we end up crediting them back the whole $29,500. For the smaller events, where they don't generate nearly as much revenue, we credit them up to the amount of the extra ridership, and then we keep the balance.
Right. So why Have we ever had a circumstance where the $29,500 didn't cover, plus the ridership, didn't cover the cost?
Yes. I think what we're saying is because we haven't updated that price in a number of years, in almost all cases, it's not covering that deposit amount is not covering the incremental cost of the operation.
No, I think the science is has a slightly different question. How many times have cash actually been paid? If there are enough riders to cover $29,500, are there events that are below that?
About half the time, I would
say. About half the time. So about half the sponsors actually have to pay up some cash, half generate enough ridership at the $29,500 to cover. My assumption, if we pushed it to 50, whatever that is, most everybody would have to pay cash.
I thought our whole goal here was to recover the incremental cost of the service.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And I feel like I'm missing something because it feels like we're covering the incremental cost of the service if we're crediting back to people.
But that's because we credited against $29,500 and we're being told the incremental cost is $50. We're not recovering our true cost.
The agency is, in fact, eating some of the cost. That has not been clear to me before this. I'm very concerned about smaller events not being able to put this much money on the table, and I don't think we want to get into that circumstance. So I'm not sure this is the right fix for the problem we have. So that's really just my.
And I support exactly what you're saying, because I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, having spent enormous amount of time with the Washington Nationals and your prior general manager on this specific issue. So rather than go forward with this, I would like a much larger discussion understanding of what we're doing here. Secondly, the amount of money that we're going to save, raise, whatever it is not worth the enormous outcry that we are going to get, starting with the Washington Wizards and Capitals, about raising this. Last night, Ted Leonsis himself raised it with me. Why are you guys doing this? And so before we go forward with this, I would like a much larger discussion of it. And so I don't know what your procedure is here. Do I table it? I can move to take it off, whatever it is. But we're not going to go forward with this without a much larger discussion. And your point about the small organizations is right on point. I mean, they're not going to be able to afford that. And we're going to find ourselves again on the other end of a publicity, like there's Metro again doing something crazy. So,
can I just make a suggestion? Since it's not like we're printing the money that we would use to make up the budget for anything that would come off. So can we also entertain proposals at the same time when we talk about taking things off, how we would make that money up? And I know one option is that the jurisdictions, this might be a place where the jurisdictions could incrementally cover the costs if they wanted to do that potentially. Remember, without getting into the funding formula issues that we talked about before, but I'm a little bit concerned. I don't want to pit Ted Leonsis against bus riders. I think when we have this conversation, I'd love to hear the ideas about how we make up the budget gap.
Mr. Evans had made a motion. Was there a second?
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded. It's before us. Are there further discussion?
I'm inclined to support the motion, but I would like to have this really as part of an immediate discussion following our budget discussion, because this was not brought as one of the savings initially. And I see a little disconnect between what the report seems to show, even with dispute, but with the time frame that we've been having this discussion over the years, and with the same discussion we just had with the prior motion that's on the table about fares, I think it merits a bigger scrubbing, but it does have some immediacy to it. Someone has to give.
Right. I think it was in the original proposal,
yeah.
Whatever we do, but it's obviously not what the big budget balancer.
It isn't the big budget balancer, but every dollar that balances some part of that budget.
Yeah, I think I want to remind everyone, today we're just allowing us to advertise this option in the long run. Whether we do it at the end is up to the final vote. So, you know, we're taking this option off the table, and I would certainly want to encourage everyone to keep it on the table.
Is there other discussion? motion that's pending is Mr. Evans to take it off the docket at this time. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Counting the votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed to taking it off? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So. Okay. That's actually not. Yeah, no, that's the case. It's that doesn't apply in committee, but presumably it would apply. Right, apply. So, Mr. Evans' motion carries, and this would not be included in the docket. It goes to the board. We can have a report on this. Yes. Right. Yeah. So we'll ask Dennis and the staff to give us a full-fledged report on what the costs are, what the history has been, what the issues would be at any higher level, and we'll come back to it when we have that report.
Mr. Downey, the other question I probably should have asked is what does staff think the financial impact is of this, because that's not included in our report. And so I really think I totally support where I was in the motion. I don't want to do this now, but I think we need to understand what the dollar impact is. And I would say at the moment I would not support Mr. Roney's proposal.
Any thought as to what the revenue impact
sure.
would be?
Sure. Just to give some context, we had about a dozen events in calendar 2014 that had early open or late closed service. I think using that as a baseline, if we were to implement this new price, the net impact would certainly be less than $500,000. It would probably be less than that. I don't want to give a certain number right now.
Let me ask the CFO, can we find, if we had to, $500,000?
In a budget the size that we're discussing here, it is indeed possible to find that. The challenge, obviously, is that you've got contingencies across the year, including the ridership figures that we're still contemplating how to adjust that. So if that's the decision of the board, we will certainly find a way to comply with that.
And we will get the more detailed report on what the implications are. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the committee meeting 2 weeks ago, I had asked for the docket to include the amounts for each item, and because I thought that it would help ensure transparency, and now I realize the docket has been substantially changed, but there are still questions, and I'd like to know why that wasn't done, please.
I may need some help from the acting general counsel with respect to what's required for the docket, but my understanding is that staff has analyzed those details and certainly can make that available to
yeah, that was provided to us in the Friday correct. Package of the line item costs, which if we had gone forward with the docket, we could have issued, not necessarily in the docket, but as supporting material. I think it is useful, but it's mooted at this point. At this point, I would entertain any jurisdictional motions to restore any changes to the docket.
Yes, I would like to propose a few changes in Maryland bus service. If you look at page 26 of 39 in our packet, I can refer to them on the list. That's the Maryland Tier 1 bus changes. And some of them are on that list and one is not. The first one is the changes to C2 and 4, which would change it slightly. It's restructure service, operate C2 at reduced frequency between Greenbelt Station and Tacoma Langley Crossroads, and then stop. Some existing trips may require transfer. Eliminate C4 west of Wheaton Station. So that would be one.
You want that restored to the
docket? Restored to that, okay. with the changes that I just read. Now, we've got a written copy.
You've got a written one, good.
Okay.
Secretary has that.
The next one would be Q1, 2, and 4 of Veers Mill Road, which eliminate the segment between Wheaton and Silver Spring Stations. This part's different. Y line routes will continue to serve Georgia Avenue between these points, some existing trips, et cetera. I won't read the whole thing because we'll give you. that. And then the R3 Greenbelt Prince George's Plaza, which is essentially, no, it's not exactly the same, but to eliminate the entire line and then extending the F8 trips to compensate for part of that. And then one new one, which is the F8 between Langley Park and Cheverly, extending the select trips from Prince George's Plaza to Archives. And I've got those all here. And I would move putting those back into the docket.
Is there a second? Discussion? Any sense of what the fiscal impact of this is relative to what we had before?
This has been discussed with bus people in WMATA, so I think they do have a number on this.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes, we do have those details. That to the extent that these are still going back on the docket, the overall impact will be net positive.
Net positive, okay. I like that. Yeah. Other jurisdictional motions? Ms. Hutchins?
Mr. Chairman, I would restore the Virginia Tier 1. I think those are all the Fairfax ones. Is that right? Yeah. I'm sorry. You have them as they should go. The ones that are that have been omitted to restore those.
Do you want to restore all of the Virginia Tier 1?
That means you want to advertise them, Kathy?
Yeah, just advertise them.
And are you restoring the Tier 1 with the red line?
Okay, I'm sorry. Then we're leaving the old docket in on this motion.
No,
the old docket is gone.
So you have to add that.
So okay, what do you want to put back in? Yeah.
Okay.
You're not adding?
I'm not adding.
Not adding back. So.
Right, and Ms. Downey, I've checked with my staff, and we're happy to wait until June.
June to deal with that. Okay. District, any? Tom? District items to go back in?
Kind of, yeah, the 5A.
You want to add, to put the elimination of 5A back onto the docket?
I could explain that we're in negotiations with IMWA about the coordination of three different bus lines that service Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Right, if that's successful, we might not need the 5A?
Yes.
Good, let's put it on the docket.
Thank you. Wait a minute.
No, it's about using it as an option for conversations about the coordination of those three routes.
Right.
An outcome may be the elimination of the 5A.
If alternative services appear to meet the need, in which case we would have the ability to do that. If we don't get to that point, we'd have the ability not to eliminate the 5A.
It preserves the option of negotiating with MWA over how the routes that service Dallas are.
So thank you, Tom. So the correct procedure would be to leave it in, right? Or add it in.
Add it back in. Yeah.
So moved.
Mr. Chairman, let me just say this is the first I've heard that we are in negotiations with MWA.
True.
This was on the docket last time and received more public comment than anything else that was in Virginia, because there are so many people who use it from Roslyn out to Dulles. So I really have to say, if you guys are negotiating without us, this is a problem, because we need to do this together. There are many, many Virginia riders here. So, you know, well, I know, but you're already in negotiation. What are your goals? How have they been set up? Do they reflect what we need? Come on.
Sit down.
There's a Virginia objection. I think it's to our interest to heed it, that there hasn't been adequate consultation between the staffs. Agree to request to withdraw the remand.
What do you think the time frame on these discussions with MWA might be? I'm thinking about the June docket as an option here. If there's something better, we could look in June to remove the 5A.
Because all this is going to do is send those same people back to the table to complain that we're cutting it again with no choice.
Right. So the context of a future would be, well, yes, we're cutting it. Here's what we have in the alternative. I think that would be far better, and what we hope will be a less controversial docket.
Just to be clear, but the difference, I assume, from the last time to this time is that we now have the Silver Line running to Wylie Avenue.
The Silver Line doesn't go directly to Dulles, and that is the issue. I'm sorry, not this. Yeah, the Silver Line doesn't go directly to Dulles. This is a one-seat ride that does take people, including workers, with great regularity out to Dulles so that they don't have to change. And we, I think Virginia's position on this is that we want to maintain bus connectivity, one-seat bus connectivity, until the Silver Line gets to Dulles. It's just not working for us.
We understand the Maryland, the Virginia position. The difference is that we're still paying for part of it. Even now, you know, now that there is a Silver Line, now there's a Fairfax connection, and now there's an MWOP bus that runs in. So if Virginia and the district want to pay for it, God bless you. As a non-regional line, God bless you. But I think we have to put it on.
Mr. Downing, Mr. Goldman, it crosses between the district and Virginia.
Well, right. It doesn't work the same in Maryland because the B30.
Because your riders are not riding, right? Our riders are not taking that bus.
No, and our riders aren't taking your bus. All I'm saying is, you know, we treat them the same, and that's what putting it on the docket will achieve.
No, it doesn't.
Or you could do it. This is.
I think we might want to. I could very easily be in support of where you're going because I have both the flyer and the 5A and the Silver Line. But I think what we're trying to say is that on the inner part of the Virginia side, you would be affecting a lot of other riders. And let me just. I hope you'd stay there because when you think about it. We have supported the 5A for a long time, and it most importantly supported folks that were on the outside of the region. And that is in the same position now when we take it away from the inner. That's the only part that I think you might. It would be easy to say that I can't see all of my riders using that anymore, but they make those connections that are outside of our venue. And I think I say this all the time, that too often we don't recognize the rides that are just internal to us actually play a major role to some of your own constituents more than they do to ours sometimes. I understand the position that Arlington is taking because they do a lot of connectivity that get those folks across those boundaries.
I mean, I don't want to prolong the conversation, but we're not making the decision today to, you know, cut this out and save this money. All we're making a decision today is to send it to hearing, to let the public comment on it. And so to cut it off and not even put it on the docket seems, you know, a kind of...
Mr. Goldman, my only point is it was on the docket last time. We heard more comments about it than anything else that was on the docket. And so I just think it's foolish to go back out if we can work together and try to get to a different solution by June that will meet some of my concerns and some of the riders' concerns that we heard so eloquently last year. That's all. Don't make those people come out again to object without an alternative that we think might be within our grasp.
I support everything she's saying. Tom, you moved to take it off to kill the amendment, so it's done.
There's no motion pending.
There's no motion, so it's over. Okay.
And I'm going to say with all due respect, Mr. Goldman, the public expects us to act like a region. It doesn't expect us to say to another jurisdiction, this is your problem, Godspeed, pay for it yourself. That's not what this entire organization was built around, about regional connectivity. There are legitimate issues that come before the board that may differ about how we implement that. But the answer is, Godspeed to you. It's not what the public expects.
Are there any other motions for restoration of items for the docket?
This may help you make the motion.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to vote on the proposed additions? Should we? Okay.
Did you move them, Kathy?
I moved, and it was seconded, the Maryland bus changes. And I don't know That is still on the table, is it not?
What's on the table now is the original amendment, the original docket, as fully amended.
With the
inclusion, with the exclusion of all the fare and service, and then the re-inclusion of Maryland changes.
Right, except for the four items less one that we already decided on.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only thing that's open and on the table right now is the Maryland proposal. The Maryland bus proposal.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm focusing on process.
In order, then, we should vote to restore the Maryland proposal to what's on the table.
To include your four items.
That I put back on. Yeah.
And you've moved and that was seconded.
Yes.
Can we have a vote on restoring the Maryland items to the docket? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none.
Okay.
Our docket now includes the Maryland items, three of the four items that were in there before, no fare increase, and no broad service cuts. Can I have a motion to adopt? Oh, I'm sorry. And it does also include the federal requirement that we have a hearing on our capital program application. So that would be another part. I have a motion for that docket. Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed, none. The motion carries. This will be recommended to the board for action at this afternoon's board meeting. And hearings will be appropriately scheduled and probably lightly attended. And we all still have a lot of work before us to make this budget continue to work, but we've been working hard at it. I really thank the both the Metro staff and the jurisdictional staffs for being creative and coming up with the kind of solutions that we need. When there's no other business before the Finance Committee, I would declare that meeting adjourned.